Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
For another edition of Ruthless Aggression, I am Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. Final episode before the holidays. We hope you have a good one. Be safe. Please don't do any stupid shit. We got a pay-per-view coming up this week. Tables, ladders, and chairs. Oh my. God. They started doing this in what, 2009, right?
Yes, believe so. First,
so this is the 12th edition of TLC. This was actually the first of the gimmick pay-per-view, wasn't it?
Hell in a Cell was, because I know this because I went to it in
Hell in a Cell was October 09 and yes. Then TLC yes. Came.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, I always forget that I went to that show because it was so unremarkable.
Well, that whole time period really.
That whole time period stuck.
And maybe it's just because I didn't watch it.
Really
and
not
no,
good.
It yeah. was It
I'm assuming dead. The main event was Cena and Orton, right?
No, it was I think it was DX versus Legacy.
That would have been the main event of that Hell in a Cell. Yep, you're right.
That is correct.
Yeah, I know.
That's probably Taker, the only redeemable match on that card.
Yeah, Taker Punk opened and it annoyed me because I wanted Punk to win, but you know.
And that was such a quick match. It was terrible.
Yeah, 10-24.
Had a Drew McIntyre R-Truth singles match in there, which is pretty funny looking back.
I would want that in 2020. It's upset we got that in 2009. this is the 12th edition of TLC, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Let's go through the card at the Thunderdome from Tropicana Field. Let's start at the bottom of the card. Let's start with the Women's Tag Team Championship match. And it's currently between the champions Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler against the Raw Women's Champion Asuka and To Be Determined. I wonder who that could be. Cue the saxophone.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate that Lana got replaced because they did spend, you know, 3 months or whatever building to this.
Wait, she got replaced? Why?
Well,
she got written off TV.
Yeah, I mean, is she hurt or
no?
Yeah, so it's just weird
is
that
she done.
No, I mean,
no, it's just. They're keeping her off TV for a few weeks for whatever reason.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be Asuka and Lana. Yeah. And
make sense of it.
Well,
make sense of them, quote unquote, keep her off TV for whatever reason.
I can't make sense of it because now this is two times where they've had a chance to kind of, you know, pay off this Lana thing. And the first time at Survivor Series, she was the sole survivor, but she didn't do anything.
Yeah, like,
and then this time,
this one
they
was
do
supposed
it.
To be the one that they.
And granted, you know, the angle on Monday where they wrote her off was effective. But here's my question. What are you doing next? If you're going to keep her off TV, I can only assume one thing. Maybe it's a little haunting to some, but is she getting a title match? Is that where this is going?
Yeah, I mean,
because I can't make sense of this, because this is where it was supposed to be
redeemed. I don't even know how to make sense of a title match, because
yeah, exactly.
She wasn't the one Asuka wasn't the one who attacked her or put her out.
Yeah.
My whole thing is, why would you take her out of this match and keep her off of television when this is literally the hottest that she's ever been as a wrestler?
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's not had this kind of attention. The last time she had this kind of attention is when she was, you know, Rusev's talking voice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She, you know, she was doing that god-awful shit with Lashley that lasted way too long and really made her just get go-away heat. And thank God that, I don't want to say thank God, because this pandemic has been awful. But, you know, the only reason why she's even been able to do this to her is because there's no fans in the crowd to boo her, because we know how awful fans are. Yeah, they just move from the crowd to her fucking mentions.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah. But, like, this is the most anyone has cared, just harshly saying, this is the most anybody has cared about Lana since she got into the Federation as a wrestler. Why the fuck would you take her out of that? That's a WWE issue to me.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, and the only thing is, you know, maybe it is Charlotte to try and get ratings back up on Raw. I mean, I don't want to get into the ratings.
If it's not Charlotte, then who is it?
Here's who I think it's going to be. It's going to be one of the people who came out to help Asuka fend off Nia and Shane. It's going to be either Dana or Mandy.
That's stupid.
Okay,
Fuck that.
You know why I think that? Because guess what? Everyone thought that, you know, oh, Charlotte could be replacing one of Dana or Mandy last month at Survivor Series.
True.
Guess what? It was Lacey and Peyton. Why should I think that it's going to be Charlotte?
Well, because she's going to come back eventually. We're overdue for a Charlotte return.
Okay, guess what?
I think we can all agree
on
that.
Guess what? Doing anything that's a surprise where there's no crowd is stupid.
I guess
it's unremarkably stupid.
It would also be strange to try and pop a number the week of Christmas, too.
Yeah, exactly. You're not trying to pop a number the week of Christmas. You're not going to gain
anything. You're not going to get anything on Raw this week.
You're not.
But
so, again, it's going to be I'm betting it's probably going to be Mandy. And do I think they're going to win? Probably not. But again, it just brings up the point of, why did you write Lana off? Again, and I'm saying that.
That underscores it. If you're not going to bring Charlotte back, it makes no sense not to pop a rating. What the fuck is the point of taking Lana out of the match?
Yeah.
Like, and I know.
You're hampering her. You are hampering her.
Yeah.
You're hampering
her. That's unfair to her.
You're hampering her, and honestly, by letting this go on as long as it has without any payoff, you're just doing it for no reason.
Yeah.
Because again, where is my mind supposed to go other than, okay, they keep holding off this payoff. What? Is she going to get a title match? What? Is she going to win the Rumble? What? Well, like what are you doing here? What is the point of writing Lana off and keeping her off TV for a couple of weeks now? Why? For what? It's stupid. Because again, I can't think of any other payoff, because this was supposed to happen here. Ideally, at TLC, it would be a tables match. And, you know, Lana and Asuka would probably send Nia through a table and send Shayna through a table too. They'd get their revenge and they'd go on their merry little way. But they're not doing that, so I don't know what is even going to happen, because this match doesn't even have a gimmick attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at least if it was a ladder or whatever, Lana could come out and climb the ladder.
Well, even if it was a ladder or whatever, like, if they're worried, oh, it might not be received well. So put a gimmick to it.
But also,
hide her. You know how to do this by now. Hide her.
But you're also going to do TBD and then just have it be Lana anyway, which would be stupid. So, I mean,
it's not going to be Lana. But again, if it's going to be just Mandy or Dana.
Well, that's dumb too.
No, but kidding. But that's exactly what I'm telling you. That's probably what's going to happen.
And I know
I would love for it to be Charlotte.
Some people also said Naomi, but it's nothing against Naomi.
Again,
it just
that's also wishful. That's wishful thinking. Yeah. And it's something with Naomi where I need to see it to believe it. I need to see that they're going to put her in a high spot before I say they're going to put her in a high spot. Yeah. So, no, I don't think so at all. It would be cool if that was the case, but do I think that's going to happen? Not really.
Yeah, and I mean, so Nia and Shayna are going to retain. You know, we're 2 years into these belts now, about
can
from
you,
when they were announced.
Can you stop? Can you stop?
Well,
there's nothing wrong with them right now. Mm. The worst that they were was when the Iconics had them, and then the Alexa and Nikki's reign was a nothing burger.
Well,
it was a total nothing burger. There's nothing wrong with them. They can still keep going along with that.
Well, you don't see the men's tag titles be used.
Yes, I do.
Prop up singles feuds, though. And that's all
I just did last year. Well, Braun and Seth.
Yeah.
They cut the OC's knees off when they were as hot as they ever were to put the titles on Braun and Seth to elevate singles title. And what are you talking about? They did that with Cena and Michaels in 2007. There's been multiple instances of them doing that.
I mean, you have...
They did it with Cena and Batista in 2008.
Well, these are examples, yes, but they weren't...
They did it with Austin and Michaels in 97.
They did it with Austin and Michaels in 97.
They weren't champions, but
none of this is back-to-back. Like, it's been...
How is this back-to-back? They're not teasing anything with the women's title yet. How is it back-to-back? You're just conflating it because you're putting...
Well, it was Bayley and Sasha, and now it's been them too. So, yeah, it's kind of back-to-back.
But what have they done with Shayna? And they haven't teased anything with them. They're not gonna split. They're gonna split them off when they eventually lose. But that's not using the titles as a frame of reference for them to move on into a singles feud. They're not feuding with Asuka over the Raw Women's title. They're feuding with them over the tag titles.
Well, it just feels like the belts could be used a little better.
How? Please explain to me how with what's currently composed. Please tell me how. Yeah.
You need more teams. I mean, that's been you the need, problem.
Okay, but again, please explain me how. How? Right now. Can
how,
you?
How to get more teams? I mean,
yeah,
you,
how?
You employ 400 people in the company. Figure it out.
You can't, because guess what? NXT's cut off because of COVID and because Triple H doesn't like using them unless his favorites are on there. So again, until they put more women on the main roster, this is what's going to happen. Yeah. I keep saying that. Nobody seems to understand that.
It's just unfortunate. Even a year ago, these belts were main eventing this
They're still... The Raw Women's Champions on it.
Yeah.
The Raw Women's Champions in the feud. What's the problem?
Yeah.
What is the problem with the titles? If you don't like them, that's fine. But don't say that, they're dead on arrival or anything like that.
I just think that could be better.
How? They can't be.
Well, I'm not going to get into it. I'm not going to relitigate stuff from over the summer, but I think that's a big turning point.
That was as hot as they ever were in the summer. I really enjoyed this.
I really enjoyed this, and I would like it to keep going. But let me be the one who says, I see both sides. I'm really an asshole for that, but I see both sides, because it's like, yes, you employ god-awful amounts of people in your company, wrestlers in your company, women in your company. Figure out who has chemistry, who can work as a tag team. If you can do it for the men, you should be able to do it for the women. Problem is, they haven't been doing it forever. And you can't just automatically say, okay, well, we're going to stick you two together and make it a thing, because that's how you get Mandy and Dana, and it's just like...
And Lacey and Pete.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they can do, but it's like, then fans go and reject it.
In fairness, they don't do it with the men either. The Raw tag division has two teams.
And they put ragtag teams together all the time with the men.
No.
Always. Cesaro and Nakamura.
Historically, we watch them like every week.
Yeah. William Regal and Tajiri, William Regal and Eugene.
Nah, that's fair. But anyway.
Rey Mysterio and RVD.
Yeah.
Kenzo and Rene Dupree.
I literally just said that one, but yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, we're all in on Shayna and Nia Jax.
Yep.
Let's move on to a match that was announced literally today. The Fiend and Bray Wyatt with his muse, Alexa Bliss. You can call her muse, avatar, whatever. Taking on Randy Orton in what is being billed as a Firefly Inferno match. Chris, I want you to look at when the last Inferno match in WWE was, because I'm trying to remember. I feel like they did like one
Bray,
with Kane that was
Bray against
bullshit.
Kane.
Yeah, I'm pretty
That's
sure.
right. They did do Bray and Kane.
SummerSlam,
right?
Yep.
That's right. That was terrible. So it's been some time. I guess, would you even quantify this as Bray's match now? Kind of hard to, because they've only done two in so long, but
yeah, I mean, it's cool to see an Inferno match. I'm interested in seeing I guess the plan there, since we haven't seen one in such a long time. It's kind of a good way to get a
I don't think you've ever seen like a great Inferno match. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I think the
first one was good.
Yeah.
But it was like, I feel like it was a letdown, because it's like, oh, I thought Kane was gonna set on fire. So this is fucking hard. Like, not really. That's all.
Do we think that this is going to be a cinematic match? Because I kind of wonder if it is.
I think it has to be. Yeah. If you're gonna make it a great match, it has to be.
Okay. Yeah. No, I could see that. And I mean, that would add something to it. Also, technically, the Bray against Kane match was a Ring of Fire match. Last Inferno match was Kane against MVP at Armageddon 2006.
That's
right. Oh my God, I remember that. Yes. Hey, I was watching. Fuck, what was that? Oh God, RVD's. Not RVD. MVP back. MVP's back is fucked after that. Oh my God. I was watching a Cultaholic video on like the greatest U.S. champions. 2 hour videos, like 100 some people. But MVP, I think, was like number 5. And it just made me remember that run that he went on in 2007 with the title after he beat Benoit.
Yep.
He was so goddamn entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
When he had that belt as a heel. And the shit he was doing with Matt Hardy. You know, before that, the shit with Kane. Like, MVP, MVP's been great this year. MVP was on a roll in 2007.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think he has been one of the bright spots this year as well, so I'm glad we did bring him up. I think a cinematic match is probably the move. They actually haven't done one in a few months now at this point.
Yeah. July, I think, was the last one.
Yeah.
They did the Braun and Bray one, mm-hmm. Which wasn't very good. And then...
Correct.
I think that was the last one. AEW's done a couple. I think cinematic's probably the way to go here. And if you're gonna use Bray that way, he's obviously fine. If you're gonna do an actual match, I don't know. I mean, probably not. Probably not worth your time.
I think this is gonna be cinematic, to be honest.
I also don't think that Bray is losing, and I don't think you're gonna get Randy Orton to agree to be set on fire if you do the actual Inferno match rules.
Yeah.
So it kind of has to be cinematic,
we'll see.
I think.
Yeah. I'll go with Bray. Or the Fiend, or whatever you want to call him.
I guess it will be like the Ring of Fire match where, you just wrestle around a Ring of Fire or a Cabin of Fire or something. I don't know. Let's move on to the card for the SmackDown Women's Championship. We got Carmella, the challenger, against the champion, the boss, the star of The Mandalorian. Hey, she's not technically a Mandalorian, but she wears the Mandalorian armor because, she's the boss. My baby, my boo, Sasha Banks. It's crazy because Sasha's going up with someone with a similar tan as her. It's wild. It's crazy. Nobody else in WWE has a tan like Sasha, but Carmella somehow pulls it off. I'm going with Sasha.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Sasha, too. We could rip into this, but it's kind of all been done already. Like, they haven't really built it very well.
Hold on. Yes, they have. They've done it. They've done what they've needed to do for this, and sometimes you're just going to get C-feuds.
Happens. No, and that's the other thing. It's okay if you have a champion who has, been chasing the belt for a while. Their first feud is, one that they easily win. Don't continue it after Sunday, and...
Even if they did, if they had a false finish on Sunday, and if they did this for the Rumble, fine.
They just had a false finish.
Okay, so keep extending it. I'm just saying that if that happens, it happens.
I saw someone say that Carmella should win, and then Sasha should win the belt back at the Rumble. But
No, that does nothing for anybody.
Yeah.
No, Sasha's gonna win by whatever happens. Sasha is going to be champion after Sunday. If they want to continue this to the Rumble, by all means. If they want to end it on Sunday, by all means.
Yeah.
Now, granted, the pool of challengers after this is pretty thin, but that's their issue to solve. But Sasha's going to have the championship after Sunday.
Yeah. No.
So I'm going to deviate from the pay-per-view for just a second. So did I say that Elias is cool with the Forgotten MAGA bro?
Yeah,
they pick him with him. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't get it. The other two being with Corbin, that's fine. They are not as outwardly bad. I think we talked about that a couple weeks
ago. Are they just going to be like the King's Court or something?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But Jackson Riker coming back, no one asked for that.
No.
What are you doing? Why are you doing that? Like,
all the misfits are on Raw. Yeah. Seriously, think about it. All of them are on Raw.
Well...
every misfit toy is on Raw.
Roman doesn't want to deal with any of them, man.
Well, yeah. I don't blame him.
He's got his power now.
I mean, KO probably
doesn't. But at the same time, you got Kofi Kingston on Raw. You got the Hurt Business on Raw. You got R-Truth on Raw. You got Ricochet on Raw. You got Ali. Remember what Ali said about his ass?
Well, yeah.
I hope he gets bullied.
And it's interesting, too, because, you know, you do bring up the New Day being
Randy on. Orton's on Raw, my woke king.
Yeah.
He's not getting that alive, man.
Yeah. And, I mean, again, it's clear that they scrapped New Day against Forgotten Sons for whatever reason. You know, someone spoke up, you know, be it, you know, in creative or the talent, you know, in the spring. So clearly they didn't want to work together. And now here you are, you know, sharing a locker room or whatever. It's, I don't know. It's not necessary. There's so many people that they could just get rid of for just not even related to wrestling reasons and it would be fine. And they're just not gonna. I don't know. I mean, They need to go back to actually releasing people.
Well, then they'll get shit for it. But
well, you know, maybe don't do it in the middle of all this. But yeah, you know, when things open back up, maybe let people go if they want to, and you know, even if they don't want to, pick some people that can be released. And I don't know. I mean, because I like Elias, I don't really understand this one.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Nobody does. For the Raw Tag Team Championship, it's the New Day versus the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. Do we flip the titles here?
I think you have to, finally. You've had ran the match six times. And I'm not complaining.
I'm surprised that they haven't added a gimmick to this.
Yeah. No, that... Because what do we...
They've been pretty exclusive with the TLC match just for the main titles, and that's it.
Yeah, we have the two TLC matches and the Inferno match, so I...
Which begs the question, why are you even bothering?
Well...
I don't want to go say that it should be like lockdown in TNA where every match has a gimmick, but goddamn, if you're not going to have a gimmick attached to something like this, what's the point?
Well, for your tag team division, like, this is... This is the division to be doing a ladder match, a TLC match. These are the two guys. These are the four guys to be doing it with.
They did one last year with New Day and The Revival, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
They did one. I think they did one with New Day, Usos, and I think it was a triple threat.
Yeah.
It was Sheamus and The Bar.
Yeah,
Lucha Dragon. Sorry, I thought I was thinking. I was thinking 2018. I was thinking the bar.
You might be right about that one. Yeah.
But like, let's not discount that you got Shelton, who he's in his 40s, but he's still ridiculously athletic. You got Cedric, who's ridiculously athletic, and you got the New Day, who resume speaks for itself. Like, why can't they get a ladder match? Why can't they even get a tables match?
Well, yeah, I mean, I see not doing a ladder match because the, you know, two TLC matches are actually ladder matches this time because they're four titles, you know, TLC matches.
Do a tables match.
TLC though. Matches aren't always ladder matches, but
you don't need two TLC matches either.
You don't. You definitely don't.
Yeah.
You definitely do not.
I don't know. I mean, where would you put Roman and Owens then if it's not TLC?
It just started.
That's TLC. Why do I need Drew and AJ in TLC?
Well, I can even counter. Why do I need Roman and KO in TLC? If you just started.
Well, the pay-per-view's named TLC.
Okay, so make another match TLC. Again, do that for the women's tag match. Because it was part of the storyline.
Mm. Yeah.
It was literally part of the storyline.
But they did that last year.
So what? They do main title matches in TLC every year. What does it matter if they did it last year?
But yeah, like you guys talked about, though, it was two TLC matches and a ladder match last year. So you can do it. I'm kind of surprised they haven't.
Yeah, I'm surprised they haven't.
I do think the Hurt Business will win finally, though.
They should.
Yeah. I'm going with the Hurt Business.
I got a mouthful of chicken. You guys are hilarious, by the way. You guys are wonderful. Where are we at now? Oh, Drew and AJ.
Yeah.
That's where we're at now.
I mean, it's going to be fun. I mean, we've never seen it before. Obviously, they've made a whole big point about that. It probably doesn't need to be TLC, but whatever, it'll be fine. And
you know why it needs to be TLC? It needs to be TLC because AJ has not been pinned or made to submit since he got to Raw. And that's what they're going to keep in mind for this to continue after the Rumble. This is your Rumble. This is your Rumble title match here.
Yeah,
I have no doubt in my mind this is the Rumble title match, and they're just going to say Styles wasn't pinned, so he still has a claim of being undefeated since moving to Raw. He'll face Drew at the Rumble, so Drew will retain here. But this is going to be a fun one.
Yeah,
I like it. And then, like I said, that's the reason why, because yeah. Styles has been undefeated. They're pushing him. I liked his mean streak on Monday. He's turned it up a notch. I think quietly since the Boneyard match at Mania, Styles has put together a really, really rock solid year. And I think he's adapting to what he is now at this point, because he doesn't have that next level, even if he did have that great match with Bryan. But I mean, yeah. it's Daniel Bryan. Of course, he's going to mesh with him. But I think he's really adapting and becoming a great worker, even, you know, without finding that next level that he was so known for like 15 years before this. So I think this is going to be another good showcase for him too.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely agree. And I think he's, Drew's going to win. Yeah. I think they're going to run it back at the Rumble, but no, I'm fine with it. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be pretty good. It's also pretty wild that we are about to be 5 years into AJ Styles in WWE.
Crazy.
That is,
and he's one of the most successful wrestlers like ever in the company's history.
Especially of this last decade.
Yeah, no question.
This last decade, I guess you would have to say, Cena's obviously in there. Bryan, AJ. Brock.
Seth.
You put Seth over Roman?
I put them both.
Yeah, I put both probably.
Yeah, I put both.
But spot. Okay, you got to knock one off then.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I might take Roman off there.
Wow.
Well, because think about it. Like, he's won all those titles, yeah, but like his reigns as, you know, the main champ were never all that long. I mean, that wasn't his fault, but
yeah,
up until now.
Okay, but if we're doing the last 5 years, Rollins really only has one championship reign that you could say, and it was dull.
This is true.
Roman's got him on championship reigns in the last 5 years. I think Roman has him on secondary titles in the last 5 years as well. It's just that Rollins had that killer reign with the IT strap in 2018. So, like,
I might
get an edge to Roman.
Because Roman's had both the U.S. and the Intercontinental titles since 2016. Seth has had the IC title and has had the tag titles a bunch of times with a bunch of different partners.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you do have a point there with Roman and the singles accolades for sure.
Yeah.
Do you want to put Goldberg in there?
I mean,
He does what he needs to do in a short-term basis.
He does have two universal title runs, so...
He's wrestled a grand total of 10 minutes in 4 years. So, WWE Championship. Roman Reigns against Kevin Owens. Tables, ladders, and chairs. I would like for you guys to give your picks.
You know, I'm going to pick Roman, but they do have me believing that Kevin Owens could win and actually rooting for Kevin Owens, which, you know, I usually root for him anyway. Because, you know, he's my guy, but it's nice to be able to do that in 2020 with, you know, the way we consume wrestling at the moment, where you're actually rooting for the face and not wanting the heel to win and disliking the heel. It's refreshing, and I think it's going to be a really good match as well. And I do think that Kevin Owens is overdue for another world title run, but it's just hard to justify doing it right now.
Pretty much. Rob just hit the nail on the head. I agree. Roman's going to win. I want Kevin Owens to win, which is the point. And I think that this is a situation where Owens is clearly given something that he really wants to do. I know Roman and KO, they're boys. They like each other a lot, so they're probably enjoying the hell out of this program. So they're gonna have a great match. This is making me want to, you know, walk some of their matches from late 2016 and early 2017 back, especially the one that they had at the Rumble in 2017. I know that was a kind of a forgotten gem. That whole pay-per-view is really a forgotten great show, to be honest with you. Between Roman, KO, Bayley, Charlotte, Cena, Styles, a pretty good Royal Rumble match as well.
Yeah, you made me want to go run that back when we get done. I've been meaning to run that back because Cena, like I say it all the time, that Cena and Styles match at the Rumble is one of the best matches of the last decade. It's Kofi Brand, and you know, it's gonna be hard pressed to find a better one than that Cena Styles. They both showed up.
Oh yeah, and yeah. I mean they sold out the damn Alamo Dome that night. It was crazy.
Right. They're like, let's not bullshit the Alamo Dome. The Alamo Dome can fit 60,000.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, it's San Antonio, Texas, in the middle of Texas. That shit filled. So, yeah. You know. Rob, I'm about to make your day. I'm going to make the case for Kevin Owens, Universal Champion. I can see, because this is a TLC match, what is Roman going to lose if he does not walk out of tables, ladders, and chairs, the WWE Universal Champion? And how wonderful would it be for Kevin Owens, who has not held that belt in nearly 4 years, and he hasn't held a main top title in 4 years, how awesome would it be for Kevin Owens to get rejuvenated, win that belt for a second time, and be able to go home to his family on Christmas with that championship? That would be wonderful. That would be moments all over social media. You know, we all know how open KO is or can be. He's kind of, you know, he knows. He knows how to handle social media and his children, but that would be an awesome moment to get to see. And how furious would Roman Reigns be if he had to go home, be with the family, for Christmas without the Universal Championship? It would send him up a fucking wall. So when they come back, whether it's for that first New Year's Day show, which is going to be huge, or the week after January 8th, you run that back, Roman gets his title back, and then you finish it off at the Royal Rumble. But I would love to see Kevin Owens come away with the championship at TLC.
Yeah, no, I mean, the way you laid it out, actually, it makes a lot of sense, too. So that would be a really interesting way to take it.
Hire me. Let's go back to the year 2004. We are coming off on an Armageddon pay-per-view where JBL's still champion. Yeah, I know. John Cena is Universal Champion, and he has his chain back. And Raw has a new women's champion in Lita in a classic. And we don't know who the hell is World Heavyweight Champion. Is it Edge, who has been bitching and complaining for months about how he's never had a shot, but he got Chris Benoit's shoulders on the mat. Well, is it Chris Benoit? You know, well, I mean, horrible person aside, he was champion, and he did make Edge tap. Or is it Triple H, who wasn't in the pinfall at all? And you find out in this episode, Triple H is kind of a begging-ass nigga. So, let's enjoy this wonderful episode of Raw, and then dive into whatever the fuck SmackDown was.
Indeed. So first, talking about Monday Night Football on this night, December 13th, the Kansas City Chiefs, who at the time were 4-8, defeated the similarly 4-8 Tennessee Titans 49-38.
Yeah, another shootout.
This despite the fact that Drew Bennett scored three times and also put together a 233-yard receiving night on 12 catches and was thrown 17 times by Billy Volek, who finished 29-3 for 426 yards with four touchdowns and no picks.
Okay, first off, Drew Bennett is the original Wes Welker. He is the original. I mean, he was 6'5". I get there was a difference, but he was the yeah, you have no business on the football field. Why are you here? But you can kind of make plays thing. God, Billy Volek was starting. Gross. What happened to McNair?
I think he was hurt. I believe he was hurt.
So figure. Wonderful podcast on McNair that SI dropped a couple years ago. You guys, if you haven't listened to it, I would implore you to listen to it. It's fascinating, and there's some shit about the Steve McNair case that you'll find out that you might might not want to find out. Some crazy shit.
Also, apparently Larry Johnson ran for 104 yards on just 7 carries and had 2 touchdowns.
Did he run into the concrete that's blocking you from the stands? Because something had to happen.
Derek Blaylock got more carries than him that night. He had 14 for 50.
Derek Blaylock. Oh, God, that's a throwback. And I can see this game because, you know, we're coming off a McNair co-MVP season, and mm-hmm. then I think the Chiefs were pretty good the year before,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they were, yeah.
So for the both of them to be 4-8, yuck.
Yeah, the Chiefs finished strong. They finished 7-9. The Titans, however, that season went, let's see, they went 5-11. And I don't remember who do they draft in 2005.
I feel like it was like a Landry, like LeRon Landry or somebody.
That was Washington.
Pac-Man. They drafted Pac-Man, didn't they?
Yep.
Pac-Man was Tennessee.
Yep. They picked Pac-Man. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I knew it was a secondary guy. Yeah. They picked Pac-Man, and Kansas City got Derrick Johnson, so it worked out for both of them. Mm-hmm. Didn't work out for the Chicago Bears though. Worked out wonderfully for the Green Bay Packers.
Speaking of Chicago, that night also, Michael Finley made a game-winning shot in regulation for the Mavs.
Let's go.
94-93 in Dallas.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let's go.
Both are going to start, like,
yeah.
2-14 or whatever and then make the playoffs.
And they'd be super good. Yeah, shot. Were you doing that specifically for the Bulls or for Michael Finley?
Just – because you had mentioned Chicago, so I saw that on the December 2004 in sports Wikipedia page.
Oh, well, shout out Michael Finley. The Bulls don't deserve that shout out. No, we'll later, but shout out Michael Finley.
Michael Finley went to
he's from the West Side. I believe he went to Provazo.
Provazo East. Yeah. Yep.
Provazo East. Sorry, Provazo East.
And then he was a 4-year player at Wisconsin.
Yeah. Good times.
Wow. Yeah. I would have loved for him to come over here, but he got the job as VP of the Mavericks. That's dope, and I really love AK and Eversley, so I can't be mad. But shout out to Michael Finley, man. Great career. He went from playing Michael as a high schooler to not being having a championship and then being in charge of a team. So,
yeah,
like, always dope to see people from the Caribs succeed. Are we done with the everything else?
We are.
Well, last one now? Cool.
Yes, we can. Before Raw started, Ric Flair and Mick Foley got in a fight backstage.
Okay.
Finally, the fallout from what Flair put in his book, which they'll end up turning into a feud in a couple years. But yeah, Foley wasn't happy that Flair took some shots at him. And
in Huntsville, Alabama?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All Foley did, though, he refused to shake Flair's hand, and then Flair punched him. So,
but we probably gave him like the old man punch, where it's like you're not really getting like much follow through. You just kind of hitting them with knuckle, really. Like, yeah, the kind of like blank man punching somebody. That's what Rick was trying to do to Mick Foley.
Yeah. We start the night with Eric Bischoff. He's back.
He's back. Been better than ever. His gray is looking real sharp.
Oh, he is. Yeah. He's kind of confused what happened when he was gone, since there's a new women's champion and new tag champions and not currently a world champion.
Yeah.
He said that he's going to decide who the champion is. Triple H and Edge and Benoit on the Titantron, they all make their case like they've been doing, you know. Bischoff says that he will figure it out by the end of the night. We roll into Edge against Randy Orton.
We do roll into Edge and Randy Orton. This match went a little long.
Yeah.
But it was still pretty solid. I didn't like it as much as the Vengeance match or whatever, but it was still mad decent.
Yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. Randy went for a crossbody at the end, Edge went for the spear, Randy moved, and Edge hit the turnbuckle, and then they did the RKO, countered into a DDT, countered back into an RKO.
And Orton won.
Yeah, so it was fine.
Yep.
Keeps Randy rolling there. Ric Flair tells Triple H that he should be champion. Triple H says he's going to make Bischoff make him champion. Batista says, don't tell Bischoff you should be champion, show him. And they have an opportunity tonight in their tag match.
Yeah, and he was very particular about saying that, you know, he was, you know, you need to show Bischoff, and by the end of the night, he's going to know who deserves to be champion.
Yeah. Exactly.
Very, very interesting wording there, Dave. Very interesting wording there. Christy and Candace and Melina are all shooting t-shirts. Snitsky came out, cornered them. Lita came out, said that he needs to stop intimidating women, that she heard from Kane, that he's coming back, and when he does, he wants to face Snitsky. Snitsky ran after Lita, but was cut off by a wall of fire at the top of the stage.
Yeah.
Spooky magic.
You know?
Devil tricks.
Christian is still upset about his gear last week. Eugene comes up and says that he knows him. It's Captain Charisma. Christian
He wants his autograph as well.
Yeah. Christian goes to beat Eugene up, but Mick Foley comes up. He has a special announcement to make. Eugene is happy to meet Foley, so they walk off together, and then Eugene comes back and tells Christian to have a nice day.
Yeah, he stole the cheap pop from him, too.
Yeah. Eric Bischoff has officially signed Simon Dean to Raw. They were going over the contract stuff, and Chris Benoit comes in, raising a scene and kind of ruining the contract signing because he doesn't know how to act.
Raw was brought to you that night by Bodman, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, and Beautiful Joe. That
is first off, is that Beautiful Joe 2? Because I think Beautiful Joe 2 would have been coming out at this time.
I think it was the first one.
The first one came out 03. Because the story was like Beautiful Joe, Sonic Heroes, Sega was like on a roll at that time.
Yeah, I guess
I actually wanted to just mention, like, I had totally forgot Bod was a thing. Because this was a part of time where WWE, Spike TV, they marketed all their ads for 18 to 24 college kids, college men, right? Yep. And you know what college men do? They stink. They smell, they funky as fuck. So what's going to make that funk worse? Bod. Bod and X and Tag. And it's good that like that popped in now, right before the turn of the year. Because come 2005, we are going to be seeing a lot of Bod and Axe and Tag advertisements. And it's going to smell so bad.
I get war flashbacks from Jim Locker
yeah.
from that era.
Everyone had that time when they thought that was like actual deodorant, which it's not.
No, it's not.
And it's wonderful that they marketed it specifically for wrestling fans. Because you know wrestling fans are like, all right, no, this is going to cover up the funk. This is going to cover up the must. Nah, fam.
You're basically spraying like air freshener on yourself pretty much.
Right.
Yeah.
Here's some Febreze on my underarms. It's not really going to do shit. but, ugh.
Yeah, so we roll into Benoit and Jericho against Batista and Triple H. Triple H hits Jericho with a standing vertical suplex. Shades of Bill Goldberg.
Yes.
Flair gets on the apron and Jericho takes him out. And Flair rushes the ring, but Triple H restrains him because they don't want the disqualification.
Don't want to be disqualified. They made that point clear. Also, how the hell was Rick sweating that much?
No.
I mean, was it the fight? Like, was it everything? Was it the lights? Like, because...
Just a really stressful night.
Yeah, it was a really, really irrationally...
Are we really going to ask why Rick was sweating so hard that night?
Okay.
Like, man, if you know, you know.
Fair enough.
It happens, man. I mean, Shane McMahon is sweating the moment he gets on television. So, just, you know.
If you know, you know.
That's very true.
Benoit put Batista in the sharpshooter. Triple H tried to break it up, and Benoit put him in the crossface. Batista gets Benoit up and hits a spinebuster for the win.
And Triple H is just lying there shocked.
Yeah.
He cannot believe that Batista thieved the pin and got the win.
Yeah, but I mean,
see Batista, his future before his eyes.
Batista was also the legal man, though. So,
Triple H is still looking up in awe at him.
Yeah.
Like, just how could you do that to me?
Like, how are you standing staring at your creation? This is your creation, dude.
Mick Foley's here. He has a new book for the holidays. Children's book. So that's fun.
Yes.
Also, he's usually a Raw guy, but he's going to Iraq with the SmackDown crew for tribute to the troops because even though he's anti-war, he supports the troops.
Oh my fucking God.
He literally makes a... This is a red state, isn't it?
Keep going, dog.
Muhammad Hassan and Daivari come out. Hassan used to blindly support the troops and the country, but then 9/11 changed everything. None of the people here are real patriots, and they wouldn't support the war if they were. It's no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave. He's a prisoner in his own country. Mick Foley says that in America, you can express your views even if they're stupid.
Oh, God.
Foley and Daivari yell at each other. Hassan says Foley supports an unjust war. And Foley says...
Oh, God, please keep your politics out of my wrestling.
Foley says he supports America and challenges Hassan to a fight, but they won't fight Foley because they don't respect him.
No, okay, no. Not only did he challenge him to a fight, he said he would beat his ass over America. Like, this is every old man having a conversation with somebody who is actually progressive and smart and forward-thinking. Only that person is actually an Italian. God, yeah. This is bad. This is so bad.
No, it's not good. And it's going to get progressively worse until it reaches a really bad boiling point.
I wonder at any point, did they ever realize that it was going to get worse than how they were already doing it? Like, was there ever a point where it was like, man, we can just keep pushing the envelope with this? Let's joke on terrorism. Because you never think the terrorism is actually going to happen, right? Like, this is awful, dog. Why are you using 9/11 as a crutch for getting over a quote-unquote Islamic heel? Like, no. 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 I'm so glad that we got out of... No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, also, all he's saying is that, like, you should treat people fairly instead of judging them.
Right, and the war is unjust, which it was.
Yeah.
And Mick Foley would probably agree. The only reason he was going over to Iraq because he's the have a nice day, fun love guy, and whatever. He said he's right there. He's a John Kerry guy. Yeah, John Kerry's, you know, second. But hey, it is what it is. Anyway, but like, it's like the whole, like,
yeah.
I don't know. It's like, I'm so glad that we got over the 80s trope of using race and using politics as a means to get wrestling over. Because, like, we obviously know whenever we go down that slippery road, there is no getting back up. You will keep sliding down. You will keep just going further and further into descent.
Yeah.
And... like for decades they prodded that and prodded that. Like, look back at the 80s and Sergeant Slaughter. And, you know, this is just the most grotesque display of that. It sickens me when we have to go back and we have to actually sit here and watch this shit. Sometimes I get upset at shit that Lawler says, you know, but like to actually have a performer, it's gross, man. It's gross to see.
Yeah. No, it's not good. We go to the back. Trish Stratus said that Lita had to practically kill herself just to win the title, but Trish is getting her rematch, and she'll get her title back at some point.
So, yeah, she will.
Yes, that's correct.
She's probably like Ric Flair, when she put down a deposit for the belt, knowing she was going to get that shit back, so she never collected.
Edge comes in, tells Bischoff that he deserves the title, says the fans don't know anything, and he got screwed against Benoit.
Oh, he's right about the fans not knowing anything.
That's true. Bischoff tells Edge he's going to give him something he's never had before. But first, we have our main event, which is Maven, Christian, Tyson Tomko against Eugene, William Regal, and Shelton.
Never put Tyson Tomko in a main event ever again.
Yeah, I mean, so Eugene has Mr. Sacco from Mick Foley. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, it was.
Maven pinned Shelton with the ropes. I guess we're going to do Maven against Shelton.
We sure are.
Yeah, whatever.
Dios mio.
Eric Bischoff said into the ring, Triple H stops him, tells him to make the right decision, but also talks for like the
first minutes. Yeah, I was going to say, like, this monologue went on for a really long time.
Yeah, because again,
just a whole giant word salad. Like,
I wrote Triple H tells him to make the right decision, and that is really what it boils down to, but he also...
He just words.
Like begging him, pretty much, almost crying. It was very.
No, he was crying. He was out here like, just like a little bitch. It was kind of pathetic. But hey, at least we know that Triple H can play the pathetic too.
Yeah, you know.
He has range.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we move forward to the final segment where Bischoff was out in the ring. He called all three guys out from the triple threat. Evolution also came out, so Flair and Batista were with Triple H. Triple H said that the choice was obvious. Bischoff said that Benoit wanted a triple threat tonight, which he didn't want to do. Edge wanted him to just hand him the belt, which he didn't want to do. So what about Triple H's idea? He doesn't want to do that either. So in January, there's going to be a pay-per-view called New Year's Revolution, and it will also be located in San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Yes.
So far, the only live show, I believe, that they've ever done from Puerto Rico, by the way.
Yep.
And they're going to do a match that is a – what was the word that Bischoff used for it?
By the way, I'm even more sold on my prediction. I just found out KO's getting a Chronicle on Saturday.
Yeah, he is.
I know the whole thing about Chronicles, they usually signals a loss. I think it's going to signal a win.
It could.
Yeah.
It could. Nevertheless, Bischoff, I swear to God, there was a word that he said. I can't remember it. But anyways, he said they're going to do an Elimination Chamber match. And everyone pretty much just put on their shocked faces like they were kind of in horror of the idea, which I thought was a nice little trick there. Nice little play. The participants were going to be Edge, Benoit, Triple H, Chris Jericho, Evolution's Batista, which caused a stir, and Randy Orton, which also caused a stir. Flair argued with Bischoff. Four in the ring started brawling. Jericho came down and got involved. Triple H escaped and was attacked by Randy Orton at the top of the ramp. So, yeah, we're doing Elimination Chamber. We haven't had one since SummerSlam 03.
Yeah.
So this is a good case of, you know, them having a gimmick, doing away with it pretty quickly after doing it twice in what, like 9 months?
Mm-hmm.
Survivor Series and then you know. But from here on out, I'm almost 90% sure. Well, no, because I don't think they do it in 2007? I don't think they did.
I know they do another one at New Year's Revolution the next year.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, because I know they do, obviously, they do in 06.
They don't do one in, they do one at December to Dismember in 2006.
That's right. They did two in 2006. They skipped 2007. So this isn't the run of, okay, that run starts in 08, where they do one literally every single year.
Yes.
On the way to WrestleMania. Okay. But yeah, no, this is a big, and this is a, you know, this is, I think this is a good decision. You know, you put your sixth biggest competitors in a match, and at this point, the sixth most over dudes in the, you know, the world title program picture. I don't see an issue with this. I think if you're going to be negligible about it, maybe you could try and worm Shelton in there instead of doing a program with him and Maven.
Shelton has a title, though.
Even if Shelton has a title, I mean, you could tease the fact that he could have two titles.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just thinking, like, okay, like, would there be anyone else that you could worm in here who you could consider the biggest guys on Raw? Because I think at this point it is these six and Shelton. I don't think that there's any debating that at this point. Yeah. But, I mean, I can't really pull anybody out here. Like, I can't take Jericho out because he was just in the Survivor Series match. I can't take Edge out, obviously. They're doing the Triple H and Batista deal. Orton is obviously integral here, and same with Benoit. So it is what it is.
Yeah. I said the same thing. It's not really anybody you could take out for a Michaels. So, and like, he's been off for this long. I wouldn't bring him back first time for an Elimination Chamber. I think he comes back the day after, because he got to get ready for the Rumble, right?
He's the ref.
Yeah, he's the ref.
Not to spoil it, but yeah, he's the ref.
He comes out. Michael?
No, you definitely did spoil it.
Yeah, he is.
He shows up.
How can he be a ref if he can't even see his hand count to three?
Well, this is before his eye got all messed up, so he's, you know.
Yeah.
That man just turned out the cockeye just out of random. It just happened randomly. Oh God, let's not laugh at the disabled. Thursday night SmackDown. What's the Thursday night football game?
Did
we have one?
Let's see.
So this was December 16th, right? There was not.
No, there was not.
But there were two. There were two
ball things, games.
There were two things that happened in baseball that were pretty notable. The first
2004.
The first was that Adrian Beltre signed a $564 million deal with the Mariners,
and that was a deal.
The A's traded Tim Hudson to the Braves for two outfielders.
Yeah. Who were the outfielders? Just curious.
Let me see. Actually, the two outfielders were Charles Thomas and also apparently Juan Cruz and Dan Meyer.
No one really that big.
No, and then he stayed on the Braves for like 10 years.
He was on the Braves. He was on the Braves forever.
Very long time, and they didn't do shit.
Rob and I unfortunately saw his Achilles get destroyed.
Yeah, he was going to cover first, and he got stepped on.
Ooh, that's is the Cardinals?
It was against the Mets.
Yeah, it was against the Mets.
Ooh, that's rough. But yeah, this was the same offseason that they traded Mark Mulder to the Cardinals, wasn't it?
Yes.
And then they had Barry Zito until he left for the Giants. It's amazing how they just blew that pitching staff up, because you had all three of them semi homegrown. You know, I think they traded for Mulder, but like you had your three aces right there, homegrown, but you didn't want to pay them. Well, it's wild.
At least the Mulder trade they kind of probably
the Mulder trade they won.
I mean, Dan Harum was good.
Yeah, because they got Darren. I mean, Derek Barton did a little bit for them.
Yeah.
I don't think Kiko Calero did anything for them, notably.
Calero, what a name. What a name. That's up there. That's up there with Joel Zamaya and Coco Crisp for me.
Yeah.
Kiko Calero, let's see what he's doing.
Yeah, because they did get a lot out of Dan Harum, to be fair.
Yeah. Dan Harum, his final team was the Cubs.
Yeah, and by then he was throwing 88.
Do we have anything more? Are we getting into SmackDown?
I think let's see if there's anything else. I know that the first bowl game went down on Tuesday when this was taped. That was the New Orleans Bowl.
Yuck.
But what happened is
that's like a WAC versus the MAC or something like that. Yuck.
Yeah, it was Southern Miss defeating North Texas 31-10.
Yuck.
That was something that happened. But besides that, nothing really happened that night. The Pistons beat the Cavs after rallying from a 10-point deficit at halftime. They allowed.
You'll learn from this, LeBron.
Okay, yeah. Detroit only allowed 6 points in the third quarter.
Damn.
And LeBron only had 11 points.
All game? Shit, yeah. You'll learn from this, little man. your arms are too short to box a guy right now.
To SmackDown in Nashville.
Nashville, yeah.
How the fuck is Raw live from Huntsville and SmackDown is taped from Nashville?
I guess they had to spread the wealth a little bit.
Yeah, because I know they go to Iraq after this, so I don't know if they're just kind of trying to go somewhere. That's not
super. Get the buzz up for tribute to the troops.
Yeah.
Also, I know what you're going to say. The Gaylord Entertainment Center does become Bridgestone Arena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was the same one.
Yes, it is. It is. Because it was.
How did you know that?
I
knew that the Gaylord Entertainment Center became the Bridgestone, but how did you know that Rob was going to ask that?
Because I just had a hunch. Because he was talking about it, because he was like, I wonder if that's the same building.
I mean, that was what I was going to say.
Exactly. So. Yeah, I could tell that that's exactly where you were going with that. So
I'm like, yeah, that was impressive. That was very impressive. But yeah, it is the former Gaylord Entertainment Center.
Yeah, and the former Summit Center as well.
Yes. We open with JBL in the cabinet in the ring celebrating JBL retaining the title. It says great things come in threes. FDR ending the Great Depression. Ronald Reagan tearing down.
God.
And JBL retaining his title. There
was like. Those are like 60 or 70 years apart.
70 years between all of that. The only three good things to ever happen. JBL wants everyone who didn't believe in him to stand up, says that he forgives them because unlike the Titans, JBL is allowing these folks to be on a winning team.
Oh. Well, I mean, hey, he's got a point there.
They do have to watch Billy Vogt like the quarterback, so.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle.
And who's worse? Oh, real quick, I'm sorry. Who's worse, Billy Volek or Dan Orlovsky?
Ooh, I think Orlovsky. Volek actually wasn't bad. Volek was the QB of the Chargers the day that they beat the Colts, I think, in the 07 playoffs, because Rivers tore his ACL. Or he might have – Volek might have beat – I think Volek actually beat the Colts.
Oh, my God. He did come in and beat the Colts in the playoffs.
Yep.
What the – okay, first off, like, Peyton, what the fuck, bro? But secondly, damn, Billy – okay, yeah, no. I got to ask that because, yeah, every time I see Dan Orlovsky on TV, I'm like, how the hell did you get there?
So Kurt Angle comes out with Mark Jindrak and Luther Reigns. Angle,
so classic Kurt.
Angle was insulted that JBL called himself the greatest champion of all time, because Angle says that Armageddon 2000 he beat five other guys to win the title. JBL says that was a long time ago, and most recently Angle lost a 3-on-1 to Big Show.
You're also forgetting that he said that Angle invented the over the top championship celebration. Bucko.
Yes, Angle did say that. Angle challenges JBL for tonight. JBL says it's a great idea, but he is off the rest of the year.
Because he partied too much after retaining his title, which, hey, I get it.
Teddy Long says that you're not actually off the rest of the year, and you are defending your title against Kurt Angle tonight.
It's a rare heel versus heel thing that kind of works, because the crowd's probably still cater to Angle more than they cater to JBL.
No one ever hated Kurt Angle.
No one ever. Well, yes.
Well, okay. Actually, the Booker T stuff is gonna be bad.
It's gonna be terrible. But I don't remember people ever hating Kurt Angle. Like, you might boo Kurt Angle, but you don't hate Kurt Angle.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Exactly. So we get a tag team match to start off the show from the in ring portion. The new and exciting tag team, as Michael Cole dubbed them, Akio and Billy Kidman, against Rey Mysterio and Rob Van Dam.
They're not excited.
Okay, sure.
They're a new tag team.
Yeah, but you know, Akio goes on to do some fun things.
Sure.
In his defense.
Yeah.
I will always advocate for Jimmy Wang.
Eventually. RVD gets the win with the frog splash. No surprise there.
Fun match there. Just a fun opener. And then Tori Wilson comes out. She's wearing the attire she had on in the Great American Bash photo shoot.
Yeah.
You know what it looks like by now.
She got a video about Tribute to the Troops.
That they also played on Monday.
Yeah.
When Foley was out there.
Next week is Tribute to the Troops.
Yep.
Cole and Taz are talking a little bit about Tribute to the Troops when Heidenreich comes out.
And Cole just does a full-fledged sprint.
Yeah. Cole gets out of there. Heidenreich goes in the ring, reads a poem about The Undertaker. Not a lot of wrestling on this show.
No, there's not, but you know, sometimes, you know, you need to be segment heavier.
Eddie and Booker are talking about how close they came to winning the title. It's good that they're on the same page because they're tagging now. Eddie says next week, though, he has to represent himself because he'll be the only star. Booker's mad because he's also a star. Also, some random, like, white blonde woman who I don't know who that was in this segment. She introduced herself, but she didn't do a good job saying her name.
Yeah, and no, it was really weird.
Maybe she'll pop back up.
I don't think so.
I'm sorry. You said random white woman. I immediately thought about that woman who ran onto the basketball court that one time. I think it was like the Spurs game or something. And she just ran onto the court and was like, "What, lady? Do you know where you are?"
Yes.
I'm sorry. Yeah. No. Anyway.
Orlando Jordan says he needs to talk to Teddy Long. Michelle McCool says he's not available. Luther Reigns says Orlando's a coward for trying to get JBL out of the match because they both know JBL can't win. And then Orlando goes on to talk about how JBL treats him nicely and gives him healthcare and all that. And Luther doesn't get healthcare from Kurt Angle. So, you know. sure. Rene Dupree, Kenzo Suzuki against Eddie Guerrero and Booker T. Rene Dupree's nose gets broken immediately.
It does.
Not great.
Not great at all. Booker hit a spinaroonie, and then Hiroko came in with a kendo stick. Booker scared her off. Booker then hit a scissors kick. Eddie hit a frog splash. They got the win. 1, 2, 3.
Sure.
Hey, he handled it a lot better than Sin Cara did. No, not the last Sin Cara, the first Sin Cara.
That's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Very true.
He didn't start flailing his fingers everywhere. that was a funny ass moment.
JBL was disappointed that Orlando couldn't get a meeting with Teddy Long. He's not showing it. He says a beat Kurt Angle.
What made Orlando Jordan think he's gonna get beaten with Teddy Long, bro? Bro, you are like, you are way, 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 way down on the totem pole to think you could be running up in the string of bell office, my nigga. You are not even Bodie. You're poop. You can't talk to Stringer.
Carlito comes in, says that Teddy Long's out to get both him and JBL. Later tonight, they should figure out how to solve their problem. Then they re-air the entire John Cena against Jesus match.
Because they needed time to film.
Yeah.
Because Cena was back on, you know, filming the Marine.
Yeah, so.
Sure.
All right. It's time to name a winner of Tough Enough. Al Snow comes out, and Daniel Peters is your winner. So, unfortunate for Mike Mizanin.
But, well, I have a feeling we will see him down the road.
Yes. Daniel Peter won $1 million, but not really, in a WWE contract. He'll also be in the Royal Rumble with a chance to main event WrestleMania 21.
Yeah, I like how they kind of framed that.
Oh, because Al Snow was like, do you want a main event WrestleMania?
Yeah, and Cole and Taz were like, what? Huh?
Yeah.
What's that?
But he's got his chance in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah,
so
we'll see how that goes for him.
Yeah.
And then, this
go ahead.
Kurt's backstage. He's getting himself pumped up for his match with JBL. Apparently they were talking about Major League Baseball. It's like, speaking of Major League Baseball, you know, everyone needs like an athlete. America needs someone to look up to and believe in. Not like you know, the baseball players who are on steroids and they lie and cheat. Or the thugs in the NBA who go in the crowd and fight in the stands, or the NHL, those NHL players who don't even show up for work. And then Luther just like is making like these, you know, these marks out of the side of his mouth about, you know, JBL giving healthcare to Jordan or whatever. And that gets Kurt's attention.
Yeah.
Kurt's like, what the hell, man?
Yeah. You know.
That was some kind of segment.
Teddy Long says that Heidenreich will face The Undertaker next week in Iraq.
Yeah, so that's a thing.
Because this is how we repay our troops. We give them Taker and Heidenreich. Oh, God, why did they do that? Thank you, troops.
It's time for JBL against Kurt Angle. Teddy Long is still out there and ejects everyone from ringside before the match even starts, so it's just JBL and Angle. And you know what? It felt like Angle was going to win the match.
They did a really nice job of selling everything here.
Yeah.
They really did.
Eventually the Bashams and Luther Reigns and Mark Jindrak come back and brawl. The ref's distracted while JBL's tapping out in the ring to the ankle lock. And then Orlando Jordan hits Angle with the title, but Angle kicks out at two, which again really felt like he was going
to
win.
Yeah, because I didn't know how this match ended. I knew what they would be leading to, but I didn't know how this match ended. I thought that was going to be it. That shocked me.
Yeah. And then Angle does the ankle lock again, does the grapevine this time. Orlando comes in and takes out Angle for the disqualification. And Big Show comes out and takes out everyone on both teams and looks at JBL's title. So JBL's got people coming for him.
He does. It's not stopping anytime soon, even after the Fatal 4-Way match. So.
Exactly.
Well, they really love triple threats at Royal Rumble, so I wonder what they'll do here. Who's our King of the Ring for the week?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Pewter?
Yeah.
Fuck no. Hey, come on. We can do better than that.
Batista got the pinfall in his match, and he's in a title match coming up soon, so.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, I like that a lot better than Pewter, let's be honest with you. Like, yeah, Chris, you lose some points for that one. The fuck? You'll be back for Top 25 starting very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost track of the days, goodness gracious. New Year starts in about 2 weeks. That's all I know. So be on the lookout for that when we get to dropping that. We will do a top 25 ? I can't remember if we said yes or not.
I think we did, yeah. We'll do one.
Okay. We'll get up soon, probably after the holiday, and try to get that done. Got new summer sessions. Folks are wilding. y'all know. So go listen to that. $10 gets you everything on our Patreon. Why are you paying the $5? Stop being cheap, dog. Just pay $10. You support everything that we do here at the Barber's Chair. Your money goes a very long way. Very long way. 79th and Hallis will have a preview episode for this week against the Vikings. I have no soul left. So I actually believe that there's a chance that the Bears can make the playoffs. I hate myself. You can also listen to 2 Minute Drill. We preview all of week 15. Follow me on Twitter at Cameron Santo. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. Rob's at Robin031. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. We will be back in 2 weeks to not talk about the Christmas episode. Because let's be honest, it's kind of terrible. We know that. But we'll gloss over it. And we'll talk about the final week of Raw and SmackDown in the year 2004 before we look ahead to a wonderful, wonderful, and that sometimes tragic year 2005. But we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to wrapping up the end of 2020. Can't wait to do that. We should do not use resolutions, but New Year's predictions. We do that year, usually every year. Figure when we link back up in 2 weeks, it's probably a good time to revisit our predictions for the year, which I guarantee none of them will be right. just because of how everything fell out this year. And we'll look ahead to what should be hopefully promising 2021. And we'll do that together on Ruthless Aggression in 2 weeks. But for now, enjoy the holidays, stay safe, be merry, and we'll see you guys later.